video, so we're going to read it from the book this morning. Again, I want to express my appreciation and excitement to actually have something besides white chairs out here to talk to this morning. It is so good to see you, even if it's through your mask. I assume you're smiling to be happy to be here as well. We're excited about that. And as we prepare to hear God's word, let us hear the scripture passage for this morning. You're going to find it in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, beginning with verse 14. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another he 2, and to the other 1, each according to his ability. And then he went on his way. And the one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things, and I will put you now in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me the 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You now have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you do not sow, and gathering where you do not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we've heard the reading of God's word, we seek its meaning for our life. So let us ask God's Holy Spirit to lead us in our time together. God, it is so good to be together where we can actually at least see each other, to be in each other's presence. I thank you, God, for how you have carried us through this difficult time of not being able to be together. And for those who are not presently with us, we know that your spirit is larger than what happens in this space, that you're able to unite us together through your spirit. And we long for the day when we can all be one with one another again. But I pray that no matter where we are, whether here, online, in our homes, in the car, that your Holy Spirit will now bless us, opening our hearts and our minds to what you have to say to us. I pray that you would use me for your glory now, God, in that process. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, summertime, I don't know if any of you all got to go on a family vacation where the quarantines have taken place this year. But if you did, I hope that you had a wonderful vacation because, you know, summer is the time we take our vacations. If you've ever had the opportunity to be on vacation and going to Yellowstone National Park, anybody ever been here, gone to Yellowstone National Park? Yes, some of you have, yeah. I'm sure that if you have, you took the time to see the greatest attraction that's there. Of course, I'm talking about the geyser, known as Old Faithful. You know, a geyser is that natural spring water that is characterized by an intermittent upward gush of water. Some of these geysers shoot as far as 200 feet in the air. I mean, it's truly amazing to actually see one of these geysers erupt in that way. And, you know, most geysers, you don't know when they're going to erupt. But Old Faithful, you can pretty well set your watch to it. Since 1870, when it was first identified by an expedition of westward explorers, there have been over 1 million eruptions that have come from Old Faithful. That comes down to 1 eruption every hour or so. It's truly remarkable. My family and I were blessed several years ago. I don't remember the year, Maria. Wait, a long time ago. But at least we got, as a family, to have the blessing of seeing Old Faithful and having that experience. And it was one of the highlights of our trip one summer. You know, the eruption of any geyser would be fascinating to watch. But Old Faithful has really become captivating to many people because of its incredible consistency. I mean, day in and day out, hour by hour, you have this eruption taking place just almost by the watch. They can time it. And whether the weather's good or whether the weather's bad, whether the park is open, whether it's closed, or whether there's a lot of people or no people there, Old Faithful is consistent in what it does. It doesn't matter who's in office. It doesn't matter what's trending on social media. It doesn't matter how well the economy is going. Old Faithful will erupt some 20 or so times every day. And people find that kind of consistency so remarkable that they will get in a car, drive halfway across the country just to see it happen. I mean, there is truly something to say for consistency, for faithfulness. Today we're continuing in a series of sermons where we're looking at the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And the last 7 weeks, we have been looking at these qualities that are evident in a Spirit-filled life. And we've been looking at how each of these fruit, as we've discussed them each Sunday, each one is different, each one is unique. Love, joy, inner peace, kindness, patience, goodness, they're all different, and yet they're all fruit that is demonstrated in the lives of those in whom God's Holy Spirit dwells and is at work within. And the reason that I felt God calling us to focus on the fruits of the Spirit over the last several weeks and this summer is because we're living in a world right now that desperately needs God's people demonstrating and influencing the lives of others, impacting this world with the fruits of His Holy Spirit. This is why I've encouraged you every day to begin with a prayer. Like the one we learned from John Stott in the first week. It's a prayer that invites God's Holy Spirit into your life every day to help you to cultivate and to produce God's fruit. And so as a way of beginning this morning, I want to invite us to pray that prayer again. We have it on the screen here. You have it on the screen at home. Let's pray this prayer together. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And today we're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit known as faithfulness. Faithfulness. And as we will see, this is a fruit that is also very unique in that it is a title that one earns over the course of time. In other words, faithfulness is not just a one time and you're done kind of deal. Faithfulness is a day-in, day-out process of consistency. Eugene Peterson defines faithfulness as a long obedience in the same direction. And as followers of Jesus Christ, God calls us to be faithful, to live lives of faithfulness. Why? Because God is faithful. I mean, in God, we see the perfect example of faithfulness. Now, some of us may have our doubts about that right now with everything we're seeing going on in our world. But you know, God is not the cause of the evil that's going on in our world. God is faithful to what He promises us. And God never does anything that is inconsistent with God's character. As the psalmist says, "Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you." God is faithful to His word, which means that He is faithful. He keeps His promises. As the psalmist says, the Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all that He has made. God is faithful to His people, to you and to me. That is, that God is faithful to take care of us, to watch over us. God is faithful in providing us with His providential care and His grace and His mercy every day of our lives. And so as the prophet Isaiah says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Even when we sin and when we fail, God is faithful to us. Or as it says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I could go on and on and on this morning with examples of this, but I think you get the point. God is faithful. And God demonstrates his faithfulness to us day in and day out. That's because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Just as you can depend upon that sun to rise every day, you can depend upon the faithfulness of God's mercy, God's steadfast love in your life every day. And because God is faithful, God expects, desires for us, his people, you and me, to be faithful. And again, that might scare some of us, that idea of being faithful, because I think if we are honest with ourselves, we realize that none of us are faithful in every area of our Christian life that we want to be or that we should be. Some of you may be thinking to yourself, you know, if faithfulness is consistency and character, you know, I'd probably mess that up because I'm the most inconsistent person that there is. If you may be thinking that if faithfulness is keeping one's promises, then there again, you know, I've got a long list of broken promises between me and God. If faithfulness is dependability, well, there again, I don't score too well on that card, you may be saying. In other words, if you really examine your life, you recognize, I think all of us do, that faithfulness is one of these fruits of the Spirit that we all struggle with. Listen, none of us are as faithful in every area as we ought to be or as we want to be. That's why it's important that we remember that earning this title of faithfulness is a lifelong process. It is a lifelong journey filled with God's grace, with God's mercy, with the help of God's Holy Spirit to be able to do this. Over the course of time, we learn and we grow in our faithfulness. As Eugene Peterson said, it is a long obedience in the same direction. So today I want to talk about how we can cultivate this fruit of the Spirit known as faithfulness. And we're going to do that by taking a closer look at this scripture reading we had for us this morning, the parable that Jesus tells about a man who is going on a journey. And so he calls all of his servants together and he ends up giving to them a certain amount of money, each according to their ability. To one servant, he gives 5 talents. To another servant, he gives 2. And to a third servant, he gives 1 talent. Now, a talent is a measurement of money that's equivalent to about $1,000. So that was a lot of money in that day and time. I mean, you could do a lot with that kind of money. And so each servant, even the one who only received 1 talent, had a lot of capital to do something with, to work with. Now, Jesus says that the one who was given 5 talents doubled the investment that was given to him. And so when the master comes back, he says, great job. I mean, you were faithful over what I gave to you. Now I'm going to give you even more. And the servant who was given 2 talents also doubled his talent and made it 4. And so when the master comes back, he says the same thing to this servant. He says, great job. Look, you were faithful over what I gave you, and now I'm going to give you even more. But the servant who was given 1 talent said to the master, Lord, master, I was afraid of what you would do if I lost what you gave me. And so I played it safe. I just buried it in the ground. I hid it so nothing would happen to it. And I hear it all this. Every penny is accounted for. We are even Stephen now. And Jesus says, the master said, no, we are not even Stephen now. You have been a wicked and a lazy servant. I mean, you could have at least put it in the bank and let it earn some interest, but you did nothing. And so he says, give your talent to the one who has 10. And for you, you go outside where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, there are many lessons I think we can learn from this story, but we're going to focus on the lesson that teaches us how to cultivate this spiritual fruit of faithfulness this morning. Wherever you currently are on that faithfulness spectrum in your life right now, there are steps that you can take that will move you in the direction of becoming more faithful in your Christian walk. And one of those steps to becoming more faithful is to start today with what you have, even if it doesn't seem like much. And I say that because we have this tendency to think that we really don't have as much as we actually do. We always think we've got less to work with than we actually have. And that's because we're always comparing ourselves to others. We often say, you know, look at their abundance compared to my meager amount. Look at their circumstance compared to my circumstances. I recently read the results of a survey about millionaires that 70%, the majority of millionaires, don't think that they are wealthy enough. Now, think about this. They're in that 1% of the global wealth distribution, and they don't think they have enough. And the reason why is because they're always comparing themselves to those mega wealthy folks out there, you know, the billionaires and stuff. Maybe that was a problem with this one servant who was only given one talent. But as I said, you know, that one talent was a lot of money back then. And you could do a lot with that. It was much more money than anybody on average could even dream of having. But I think this is typical of our human nature. I mean, I have heard people say this, and I've even said it myself. If I just had more money, I could do so much more for God. But the truth is, there's nothing stopping us from doing our very best with what we have, rather than we sometimes think we don't have enough. I've heard people say that if I just had the right kind of job, if I could just find the right kind of relationship, if I could just live in the right kind of place, if my circumstances were different, if things were different in my life, then I could be more faithful, then I could do more for God. But here's something you need to realize. God will never call you to be faithful with what he hasn't given you. He only expects you to be faithful with what you have. In other words, you can't say, God, if you'll just give me more, then I'll be able to do more for you. I'll manage it better. I'll invest it better. I'll manage it. Well, that's not what faithfulness is about. Faithfulness says, I will do my very best with what I have, even though it doesn't seem to be much compared to others. Because, you know, God is known. God is known for doing some great things with what people often consider to be not very much. You remember the story of Moses? How God called Moses out of his shepherding, and he told him to go to Egypt to set his people free from slavery and send them to the promised land. You remember the first thing that Moses started doing was making excuses. He started comparing himself to other people, saying, Lord, who am I to go to Pharaoh? I mean, surely you can find somebody better than me. I can't speak as well as other people speak. I don't have the resources other people have. But you remember what God asked Moses? He says, Moses, what do you have in your hand? Moses said, just my staff. It's just a stick. I mean, it's my rod. And remember that when the staff of Moses was put in the hand of God, what mighty things were accomplished. When Jesus asked his disciples to feed those 5,000 people on the hillside that day, you remember how the disciples began to make excuses, thinking they didn't have enough resources in order to meet the need that was there. But when a little boy offered his basket of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus, remember, was able to do something very remarkable with what seemed to be not much of anything. Listen, God works where we are. He works with us where we are with what we have. And he takes us to where he needs us to be, as long as we're striving to be faithful with what we have. And we just need to be willing to leave behind our excuses and being willing to not compare ourselves to other people and just focus on what God wants you to do with your life. God is calling you to be faithful today with what you have, even though it may, in your mind, not be comparable to what others have. Could be a talent, could be resources, whatever it is. And this is what we know. When you are faithful with what you have, then that opens the door to new opportunities. This is why Jesus said in verse 21, you have been faithful with a few things, I will now put you in charge of many things. So if you want to earn this label of being faithful, then you have to begin today with what you have. even when it doesn't seem like much compared with others. I think the second way we can cultivate this fruit of faithfulness in our life is to do your best with what you've got, even when no one is looking. A key phrase in this parable, I think, is found in verse 15. After the master had distributed the talents to the servants, Jesus said, "Then he went away." In other words, he let them do their job without supervision. And I think there's a real truth about this when it comes to being faithful in our Christian life. The same is true. God is always with us, always empowering us with the power of his Holy Spirit to lead faithful lives. But God does not micromanage every aspect of your life. Listen, if you need someone looking over your shoulder 24/7 in order to do the right thing, then you're going to struggle developing this fruit of faithfulness in your life. Because much of what we do in terms of faithfulness is unobserved. As H. Jackson Brown said, our character is what we do when we think no one is looking. Our greatest strides in cultivating this fruit of faithfulness in our life often come when there's not an audience around. And here's an important distinction I think we all need to make. Now, there should always be an accountable system in place in our lives. We should have some system of accountability. We should all establish a means of checks and balances so that we try to stay on the right track in our faithfulness. There should always be someone that we're answering to. However, no amount of accountability will overcome a lack of character. And faithfulness is an extension of our character. There will be times in your life, many times, when it will seem as though nobody is watching, not even God. There will be times in your life when you may feel like he's never coming back. And all I've got to deal with is this little bit that I have that's not much compared to others. And who's going to notice? Who's going to notice if I invest it, if I sell it, or if I bury it? What difference does it really make with what I do? Well, the truth is, it makes a huge difference. Because what you do in secret, when no one is looking, is where you build that foundation of faithfulness. Listen, you know, great actors, great athletes or artists, they don't become great overnight just by some lucky break. I mean, of course, there are people who get lucky breaks, but they're often those, you know, flash in the pan, one-hit wonder kind of folks. You never hear from them again. The truly great actors and athletes are those, they become great because they've taken the time to perfect their craft when no one's listening or no one's watching, and there's not an audience. And I think the same is true when it comes to cultivating this quality of faithfulness in your life. You have to practice faithfulness when no one is watching, or there's no gain other than the audience that you're trying to improve with God. So you do your best even when no one is watching. That's part of developing faithfulness. Finally, in order to develop this fruit of faithfulness in our lives, we have to make this a daily endeavor, even when you can't predict the outcome. You know, these servants that Jesus is talking about in this story, they had no idea what was going to, the outcome was going to be from their investments. I mean, they could have lost everything. But it was a risk that at least two of these servants are willing to take. The other servant was not willing to take the risk, and so just did nothing. And we might can understand why this third servant did not really take any risk. I mean, it's kind of hard. I mean, it is hard. Just think about all the effort that it takes, the risk involved in trying to double your resources. Have any of y'all ever done that? I mean, I can't speak from personal experience, but I've talked with some people who have kind of doubled their fortunes, and they have told me that it really takes a lot of risk. And you have to make some extremely shrewd and well-informed decisions. You have to buy property that's at a risk and flip it and hope it turns out okay. You have to invest in an expanding business. And you have to short sell overvalued stocks. You have to go long on the hidden gems. And you do this day after day after day. You're working at this. It is a daily grind in which you must be consistent and persistent. And success, it's never guaranteed. But your other option is just to not do anything. Go out and bury your talent or whatever and play it safe. And I think the same thing is true when it comes to the Christian life. I mean, there are a lot of people who, at least in theory, say they want to be more effective in their Christian life. They want to be more faithful. Except that there's this nagging doubt going on in their mind that keeps them from holding back. What if it doesn't work? What if I'm faithful and I never get blessed? What if I'm faithful in my giving to God and tithing and so on and I can't make ends meet? What if I'm faithful and I end up, you know, unhappy, unblessed? What if I'm faithful and life just passes me by? Am I really willing to take that kind of risk? Listen, when it comes to faithfulness in terms of the Christian life, it's always going to be a walk of faith. You won't always know what the outcome of your efforts are going to be. Being faithful to God in this world today, it is truly risky. And yet, it is a risk worth taking. Because even though you cannot predict the exact outcome of your efforts, you can always know this: your faithfulness will never go unnoticed by the one who matters the most. That's our Heavenly Father. For God sees what no one else sees. This is why Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, "Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." So in order to cultivate this fruit known as faithfulness, you have to make this a daily endeavor. Even when you can't predict, you don't know what the outcome will be, you still remain faithful in doing God's will because you know God's watching. And He's all that really matters. You know, over the hundreds, maybe even thousands of geysers that are out there in the world, and some of them are in remarkable, beautiful settings, Old Faithful has remained the most famous for one reason. And that reason is contained in its name: Faithful. It means that it is consistent, dependable, reliable. And it is this quality that makes it far more than just a novelty of nature. It makes it stand out as being one of the true wonders of the world. And I think that this is also what makes us stand out when it comes to the kingdom of God. In God's eyes, is our faithfulness. But I think it's also what helps us to stand out in the world's eyes. I believe that one of the main reasons that Christianity is not having the influence and the impact upon culture and people's lives today is because of our lack of faithfulness, our inconsistency in walking the talk. Let there be no doubt that the eyes of the world are watching those of us who claim the name of Christian, followers of Jesus. They watch what we do. They watch what we post on social media. They see how we treat others. If we are ever going to be a light for God in the darkness in this world that is around us, it is going to be because we are persistent and consistent in our faithfulness. So even if you don't think you have much to work with compared to everybody else, even if you don't think somebody's watching over your shoulder all the time, and even though you are uncertain about the outcome, we must make it our daily endeavor to remain faithful to God and to God's will for our lives. Because this is God's will. And this is how we have the greatest witness for Christ in this world. The simple truth is, none of us are as faithful in everything that we want to be or even as we should be. We all know that. But no matter where you are in that faithfulness spectrum, you can take steps and you can begin that today to becoming more faithful in your Christian walk and in your Christian witness. And, you know, that's really all that matters to the one who really matters. Let's pray together. Lord God, it is very difficult to be faithful as we know we ought to be, because we recognize, God, that we're not perfect. And, you know, I may do a good job one day, and the next day I just fail miserably, or one moment I I'm doing okay, and the next one I find myself doing something I'm ashamed of. God, we all live this life. We are thankful for your grace that is there to forgive us when we fail. But we know, God, that we don't have to be content in that, that you call us to live a better life, a more faithful life. And it is the work of your Holy Spirit that enables us to do that. And so, God, I pray that all those who are listening, those who are here, who are online, that we will open our lives, really be diligent in asking for your Holy Spirit to help us to live faithfully in our witness for you, that the world may be impacted, at least the world around us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.